This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Illinois was a key state for the Union in the Civil War, providing both the president and the commanding general who put down the Southern Rebellion and reunited the states. Illinois is also generally regarded as a free state, but the truth is that our relationship and history with slavery is much more complicated. That said, Illinois did play a major role in the Underground Railroad, where people escaping enslavement traveled through places like Cairo and Quincy, making their way north to freedom. There's a new traveling exhibit aiming to share some of that history, especially downstate. Joining us now to talk more about this is Sarah Watson, Executive Director for Looking for Lincoln and the Abraham Lincoln Heritage Area. Sarah, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Also with us, Brian Mitchell, an African-American and Underground Railroad historian and scholar, formerly with the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. Hey, Brian, welcome back to the show to you.
Glad to be here.
And Heather Fieser is Program Manager for Looking for Lincoln in the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. Heather, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, if you want to join us today, 800-222-9455. We'll open the phone lines for this last part of the show, but we've only got 13 minutes or so left, so don't waste time if you want to get in on this conversation, 800-222-9455. Sarah Watson, I'm going to start with you briefly. For those who are not familiar, what is Looking for Lincoln in the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area?
Thanks, Brian. Looking for Lincoln is the coordinating entity for the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area, which is one of 62 federally legislated national heritage areas. Each of us are mandated to tell a nationally significant historic story. In our case, we are telling the story of the life and times and legacy of Abraham Lincoln.
And I understand it covers 43 counties. What's the significance of that?
The significance of the 43 counties is primarily that is the area that Lincoln would have traveled around as a lawyer, as a legislator, as he did his 1858 debates throughout the state. So it's that significance of this is the area of Illinois that helped shape that man who became president.
All right, Heather, let's turn to the exhibit itself. What inspired this Underground Railroad exhibit?
Well, it's one of those stories we've been wanting to tell because we do talk about Lincoln's life and times, and the Underground Railroad was very much part of that. And so we were able to take research that we've been collecting for a while and turn it into a traveling exhibit so that our many communities and organizations within the heritage area could feature that, as well as we've developed supporting programs for the exhibit, and they can kind of have it at a library or historic site in their community and help the people of that community learn more about Illinois and the Underground Railroad.
What did it take to put this together? And Heather, that's to you.
Lots of time and work. And I think one of the hardest challenges of the exhibit was we wanted it to be very accessible to a lot of communities. So we only allocated like 600 square feet. So the exhibit does not take up a lot of space. So it's very versatile and can travel. And so one of the biggest challenges, I think, with the exhibit was the enormity of information, figuring out what exactly we could tell, and trying to feature a variety of stories. I mean, many people don't know that African Americans themselves were conductors that were helping freedom seekers on the Underground Railroad here in Illinois. And that's a story that we wanted to bring out for people to learn about, or the fact the Underground Railroad took place all across the state of Illinois. So these were things we wanted to highlight as we were telling these stories.
Brian Mitchell, I'm going to bring you into the conversation now. Talk a little bit about the Underground Railroad in Illinois. What form did it take here?
Well, you have to understand that, particularly after the Fugitive Slave Act, the Underground Railroad is a clandestine activity. So people have to do this secretly under penalty of being arrested or hit with enormous fines. So people are working secretly, which is one of the things that makes the research of the Underground Railroad so difficult, because people tend to hide clandestine or illegal activities. So much of the history of the Underground Railroad has passed through oral tradition, and where it it becomes a historic record is when people are arrested or captured, and then they appear in court records or newspapers. So much of what we know of the Underground Railroad is transmitted to us by stories, and then we try to match up these stories with historic records, court cases, and later diary entries that tell us a little bit about who were conductors and who were the people that passed through the hands of these conductors.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I wonder, by the time you get to someone talking about their great, great, great grandma, however many times you want to add on to that, how do you verify the authenticity of it? But maybe, I don't know, maybe did people start writing more about it in the late, you know, after the Civil War, late 1860s, 1870s, and so on?
Yes, sometimes you'll run across diary entries. Sometimes you'll run across newspaper stories. Quite often in obituaries, someone might die in the African American community and speak of being born enslaved and making their way to a location. And it's only after they're dead that they're able to, you know, disclose this, and after slavery is ended, that they're able to make this sort of disclosure.
Brian, what was communication like on the or about the Underground Railroad? How did people even find out about it if it's such a secret, clandestine thing?
Word of mouth. And it's, you have to be cautious of how you pass this on. So only a very few people. You had to be in the know to figure out where to go. They would have symbols, signs. They were safe houses. People would often be moved under the cover of the night, or hidden beneath wagons and brought to other cities and transported along this sort of invisible network.
Heather, talk about the exhibit itself. What will people see if they go to check it out? Are there documents? Is it images of documents? Are there actual artifacts?
Actually, there are no artifacts with the exhibit. The closest thing we would have to what we classify an artifact would be historic images of individuals who were involved in the Underground Railroad. So basically, the exhibit consists of a series of panels. We have 8 panels that highlight 8 different individuals who were either freedom seekers or conductors that helped freedom seekers along the Underground Railroad. We have 8 question panels. The questions are like, was Illinois a free state? What was the Underground Railroad? How did freedom seekers move through the state? And so we kind of answer those questions. And then we have a huge map on one of the, it's kind of like fabric over a frame that talks about the community. We highlight like, I think 11 communities that participated across Illinois. And then my favorite part of the exhibit is a people wall. And one of the things, like I mentioned earlier, was the challenge of telling stories. Well, with the people wall, we have a QR code with historical images of people all along this wall that people can learn more about by clicking on the QR code. And that enabled us to tell a lot more stories than we were able to tell in the number of panels we had in the exhibit.
Let me remind people, this is the 21st show. We're talking about a traveling exhibit showcasing the history of Illinois' role in the Underground Railroad. It's put together by Looking for Lincoln in the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. We're talking about this with Heather Fieser, Program Manager for Looking for Lincoln in the Abraham Lincoln Heritage Area, Sarah Watson, Executive Director of Looking for Lincoln and the Heritage Area, and Brian Mitchell, an African-American and Underground Railroad historian and scholar. Brian, let me ask you about that. We could do, and we have done here on the 21st show, an entire hour talking about Illinois', the question that we heard Heather pose a moment ago, was Illinois a free state? Illinois was theoretically a free state, but it had a very complicated history with slavery. Can you briefly remind us of where Illinois was on this before the War of Southern Rebellion?
Well, you'd have to ask, what period of time are we talking about? So we have to remember that the state was also a colonial possession of France, and at its earliest, there were slaves here in the 1700s. Some 200 slaves were brought here from Saint-Domingue by Philippe François Renault. They continued to have slaves through the Seven Years' War, and then when it ultimately came into the possession of the United States in the Illinois Campaign of 1788, they were still slaves and indentured servants there. The Northwest Ordinance, throughout the Northwest Ordinance, even though they said involuntary servitude was against the law in it, there were slaves that were grandfathered in. So throughout its existence, there have been slaves even though it was pronounced a free slave state, there were slaves that were here. Many of them were leased from neighboring Missouri, others from Kentucky, and they were many indentured servants that were here. So we had this sort of two standards that were there. On paper, we were a free state, but in essence, we actually had slaves all over the place.
Sarah Watson, I want to ask you, another aspect of this exhibit is a musical performance that complements it. Talk about that.
We were able to get a grant from the Illinois Arts Council to commission a full musical performance of music that would have been related to the Underground Railroad. Chris Vellillo from Macomb, Illinois, is the musician who not only wrote the program, but also performs it. And it's one of those pieces that a community has the exhibit. They can also invite Chris to come do the performance. And it just adds another element to the story of the Underground Railroad in Illinois.
Longtime listeners might remember we talked with Chris last summer about his Forgottonia musical. All right, I guess we're coming to the end of our time together. So I guess, Brian, I'll ask you, if listeners want to like try and find this own history in their backyard, what can people do?
Finding Underground Railroad history in your own backyard, there are a number of resources which you can use. I always ask people to go to secondary sources first. There was an excellent new book that was put out by Larry McClellan, Onward to Chicago would be a great place to start. Other things that you can do is go to newspapers.com or one of the newspaper databases, look through newspapers of the period, and look for court cases, look for runaway ads. And those are also good ways to start. You can go to African-American communities throughout the state. Many churches have longtime histories of being hubs on the Underground Railroad. So communing with those churches and learning the oral history is also a wonderful way to get connected to the history.
Heather, where can people find the exhibit?
Well, currently the exhibit is in Jonesboro and Pontiac, but it will be moving soon. So the best way is to go to the website we have for the exhibit called IllinoisUGRR.org, and they can look up the location of where the exhibit will be traveling. And it will be traveling all around the state, so we'll probably be close to somewhere where someone is soon.
All right. And Sarah Watson, briefly, we're very little time left, but if people do want to learn more, broadly speaking, about the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area, where can they do that?
You can go to our website, lookingforlincoln.org, and find all of the amazing stories in all of the communities throughout the 43 counties.
All right. Sarah Watson is director of the Looking for Lincoln and Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. Heather Fieser is program manager there. And Brian Mitchell is an African-American and Underground Railroad historian and scholar. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Coming up on Monday, it will be 3 years since Russia invaded Ukraine again and kicked off the latest phase of this conflict. We'll be talking about that on the show. If you have comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us by email. talk@21stshow.org is our address. talk@21stshow.org. You can visit our website, 21stshow.org, to find that address and every other way to contact us. You can also find links to our past conversations, as well as links to our podcast, or just look us up on Apple or Spotify or YouTube. where you can find us by searching for Illinois Public Media. The 21st Show is produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Coulson Khan. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again on Monday.